welcome to another episode of the Collapsing Game Shelf Podcast, a podcast by a group of people with way too many board games. I'm Tom, and I'm joined by...
Justin.
Adam.
And Debbie.
And today, we are going to talk about Wingspan.
Ooh.
Caca.
Game about birds.
This is
I like birds.
This is the second Stonemaier game we reviewed?
That's it.
Sure is.
Could you imagine? We just run the whole Wingspan gambit. Sorry, we could just run the whole Stonemaier gambit. We could do Scythe. We could do viticulture. We just turn this into the Stonemaier podcast.
They do have a few games.
They do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of games. A competitive bird collection engine building game for 1 to 5 players, which is a sentence I'd never thought I'd utter in my entire life. Let's go ahead and read the back of the book. Holy fuck, this thing's heavy. Hold on. You are bird enthusiasts, researchers, bird watchers, ornithologists, and collectors, seeking to discover and attract the best birds to your aviary. Each bird extends a chain of powerful combinations in one of your habitats. These habitats focus on several key aspects of growth. Gain food tokens via custom dice in a bird feeder dice tower. Lay eggs using egg miniatures in a variety of colors. Draw from hundreds of unique bird cards and play them. The winner is the player with the most points accumulated from birds, bonus cards, end of round goals, eggs, cached food, and tucked birds. Sorry, tucked birds.
Tucked birds.
You gotta tuck your birds
in. Be careful when you tuck your bird.
I don't know how to take that one. Yeah, Stonemaier. I think this was 2018?
Was it a 2018 release, yes.
2018 release, won some awards, I hear.
Probably Spiel des Jahres.
Probably nothing big.
Spiel des Jahres, yeah. The biggest, in fact.
Well, I mean, it's one of them.
Oh, sorry. I take that back. According to Board Game Geek, it was released in 2019. So it must have been like an early 2019 release. Incredibly hyped, of course. Ended up winning Spiel des Jahres, which did nothing but shoot the hype to like critical new mass levels.
Into the sky like a bird.
Oh,
that's it.
Unless it's an ostrich.
Cause, oh, wow.
Because yeah, they don't fly.
They don't fly.
As we learned in Timelines.
That's right.
They're big.
They're really big.
Super big birds.
Very heavy.
Very heavy.
Yeah.
Most birds, quite light.
Yes.
Anyway, so this one, Spiel des Jahres, which is... if you don't know, it's kind of, I think there's a few criteria that go into it, but it is sort of the like top tier. Once you get this designation on your game, it tends to mean that you get picked up by larger distribution outlets. One of the criteria is that it's fairly accessible. So it's not like a game like Twilight Imperium where the rule book is 300 pages long or whatever, and it's going to take you 8 hours. This is 1 to 5, so it's got a rule book and some components in here so you can play it by yourself if you so choose. Ages 10 plus and 40 to 70 minutes of bird collecting fun.
So many birds.
There's lots of birds.
Love the birds.
And lots of bird information.
There's tons of bird information. Yeah, so the way the game works is you end up having a mat in front of you, which is your... It has 3 rows, which correspond to 3 different habitats of birds. You got your
forest, plains, and the water.
All of your favorite. You got your forest, which give you green mana. You got your islands, which give you blue mana. And then you've got the plains, which give you white mana.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Very, very Magic the Gathering-esque.
Yeah.
But okay, where does Oko fit into this?
There is a difficulty level rating.
Oh.
Eaglet.
Aww.
Eagle. Man. And eagle-eyed eagle.
That's true.
Those are your 3 difficulty levels.
What, they couldn't find FYI. A third bird?
Apparently
they like put a falcon in there or something?
No, eaglet.
Oh no,
eagle and eagle-eyed eagle.
They printed the second difficulty thing before they finished the book, and then they're like, "Wait, I got one more." Ah, shit, it's already in here. Like, what are we gonna do? We can't change it. I don't know. That's funny. There will be some goal tiles, so there's some goals that you can achieve as a group. There's some goals that you can achieve as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a little thing that has 3 birds and your deck of birds, because birds come up all the time. You've got your bird feeder dice tower, which has the dice that go in and they show symbols on them. The symbols correspond to food, which is basically the price that you pay when you want to play bird cards. On your turn, you get to play a bird. So you pick a bird from your hand and you put it into one of the open slots that you have. And depending on which slot you put it in, you might need to pay a certain amount of food. Or I guess for the slots, you have to pay a certain amount of eggs. which yeah. are on yeah. bird cards.
No, the
they're on the
egg
birds.
Cost is on.
No. Like oh, yes.
But the eggs come
each,
from the birds.
Each column. Yes. Each there's rows. Which
the bird
are,
the rows, came before the egg.
Yes. So the rows correspond to various powers that they have. So each one of the rows, the wetlands and the forests and the plains, basically correspond to different types of abilities that the birds have, which typically mean like the ones in the grassland get you one type of food, or you get to cache seeds and it's all over the place. There's like 100,000 cards in here, so I cannot possibly enumerate everything that happens.
Turns out there's a lot of birds.
There are a ton of birds. But when
and
you,
some of them are really nasty.
Yeah, they eat other birds, which is predator one of birds. The things. You have predator mm-hmm. birds. Yeah. Eagle just like, ka-ka, sweeps
those
down.
Raptors, man.
Bam, bam. There goes your sparrow.
Chomp, chomp.
Your sparrow done dead. So when you pick the bird, you put it into a column and a row combination. Depending on which column you pick, you may have to pay a certain number of eggs. So the further to the right you go in a particular row, you will have to pay more and more eggs. The eggs are stored on the bird cards, and the eggs are quite nice. Very oh, fun to play with. They don't are. Eat them because they look exactly like Cadbury eggs. The little mini ones. So don't put them in the bowl right next to your snacks.
No.
Or next to the actual Cadbury mini eggs.
You may have a problem.
They look okay? delicious.
There's a tip for you. So just to quickly go over what each of the rows does, so or some of the various things that you can do. You can, depending on where you put the bird, you can gain food, which lets you grab dice out of the bird feeder, and you just get tokens that you can use later. The bird feeder is so cool. The bird feeder is great. Little dice tower looks like a bird feeder. You can lay eggs, which means that you get to take the cool, like, pastel-colored egg things out, and you put them on the birds. Each bird has, like, a limit of how many eggs you can put on. So you can't, like, there's some birds that just...
They don't have a lot of eggs, like
terrible.
Eagles.
They're terrible at it.
Not a lot of eggs yeah. on eagles.
Bad eagles. Mother birds.
Bad mother birds.
Bad mother birds.
They good don't at have, eating little birds.
Can't have too many eggs
have
on them.
I have a feeling that has something to do with the food chain.
Nah, that's just silly. Take your biology out of here.
Okay.
Debbie was a zoologist once. Jesus. Were you? I can't remember. Was that your...
I did study zoology, but that is not what my degree is.
So that's your
is
professional
in.
Opinion, no, is that this involves the no. food chain?
Well,
it's noted.
Yes,
it is noted.
But yes.
So it was written.
The other thing you can do, like depending on which column you, or which row you put it in, I think it's the wetlands, lets you draw cards. So you need to draw more cards to be able to put the cards down.
The cards are the birds.
The cards are the birds. You get to draw more birds. Yeah, and some of the birds let you draw more bonus cards, and sometimes they let you draw more like...
Yeah, each other... bird kind of has its own special ability that will sort of activate whenever you activate that row.
Not all
column.
Of them. So some of them are when activated, some of them are when played, and some of them are once between turns.
Hey, there's stuff all over the place. What? It's honestly a little bit too much to go over. Again, there are... like a billion cards. They're all different.
They're all different
have their
birds.
Own facts. They got a little strip along the bottom where it tells you where they come from. Oh, it's great. A
little picture of the world.
That is yeah. that is
so
just,
when you oh, when you man, awesome. When inevitably your friend takes a bit too long to finish their turn, Justin.
It's just because I'm so
through.
Busy reading these bird facts.
I was gonna say
read those damn bird facts on somebody else's turn, goddammit.
No.
Yes. Yeah. And he has to read them out loud.
Well, I wanna share
the information.
This is take your biology the fuck out of here too. Okay.
It's show and tell on his turn every turn.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So again, so once you put a bird down, you actually get to activate like that whole row of things. So if you imagine that I've just put down my third bird on a wetland space, I get to like draw some cards, which is sort of the general wetland row power. And then you go through, and for every bird that you have going back towards the left side of the mat, you get to do whatever the bird says on it. So if it says, when activated, get a grub or whatever.
Get some fish.
You get some fish. So I draw some cards, I get some fish, and then this other one says, you know, eat a smaller bird. So you discard a bird from your hand that's smaller, and then maybe it goes under that eagle, and there... You try not to think about it too much.
My eagle ate a crow and a hummingbird.
A crow?
Oh, your eagle ate a crow and a hummingbird.
But it could not eat the owl.
Because owls are big.
Too big.
Yeah.
It's based on the wingspan.
Yeah.
How? What a great name.
Just saying.
Yes. So that's the long and short of it. Every, at the end of every round, so once everybody's kind of out of turns, you get cubes that represent how many turns you have. You take one of your cubes and you put it on the goal tracker to tell you how many points you got from the goal. So there are like a competitive side and there's a non-competitive side. So the competitive side is like the person who has the most of this thing gets 5 points. The person who doesn't gets 2 points. The next person gets 2 points or whatever. Or there's the other side, which is like you get points based on how many of these things you have. So there's one that's more directly competitive than the others. Other than that, like the interaction between players is sort of limited to like snaking birds out from under people and taking stuff from the bird feeder.
Yeah. Stealing all the grubs.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that I thought was weird were the nests.
What do you mean?
What about the nests?
Well, there's some of the bonus cards or some of the goals.
The symbol.
We'll have like a bowl on them.
Yes,
You're like, what does this bowl mean? What's a bowl type nest? So some of the birds have like a ton of information on them. Like every bird has a point value as well as, you know, their ability, their wingspan, like where they're from, where they nest,
how many
which kinds of nests,
how many eggs which they normally have,
habitat they go into. And I don't know where, if any of that's actually correct. I have to assume so, because I can't imagine that you'd go to all this trouble not to make it, but it's all very educational. But there are some cards which are like, you know, get 1 point for every bowl nesting bird you have.
Yes, or so
you
have to look for that have thing. Every like ground laying bird lay an egg.
Ground laying bird lay an egg.
Ground egg laying bird.
That sounds
what?
Yeah, no, that was right.
All right, yeah. All right. Rather than a bowl nest, so like maybe a sparrow.
I don't know that it's a bowl nest. I think it just looks like a bowl. I think it's called something else.
But I think that's like a your traditional nest in like a tree.
Yeah.
A bowl. This is the Collapsing Game Shelf does biology, guys.
This is us trying to figure out what some of these.
This will be mandatory listening for your high school bio 20 class.
So it does actually say bowl. Kudos. One says platform. One says bowl. One says ground, which looks like a bunch of eggs, but apparently they're supposed to be pebbles. And one says cavity.
Yeah, there's tons of symbols, and then everyone kind of has a secret objective that they can do stuff with based on what type of birds they have.
I think a quick reference card would be good. They didn't have one, right?
It's on the back. Of the manual? No.
There is some amount of quick reference, but
I believe there was.
Also, this is another thing where if you've listened to some of the other episodes, we've referenced a website called BoardGameGeek.com from time to time in some of the other episodes. This is another place where BoardGameGeek.com comes in really well because there's lots of third-party generated documents that you can download, print off, or keep on your phone or tablet or whatever.
For sure.
There's some very thorough third-party information.
Oh, yeah.
There are some people that take this thing seriously.
And if you want to argue about the rules, there's probably a 10-page discussion thread.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's a good place to go if you want to look for some fights, that's for sure.
But nonetheless, I mean, the game, so that's the general way the game runs, right? It runs in four rounds.
Four rounds? Yes.
Four rounds.
Four rounds.
Yeah, it was four rounds. Each round kind of has a different objective for everybody. Yeah, for the table. And then it's, you know, who has the most points in the end is...
Including your hidden objectives.
Which allow you to have
varied gameplay because... I don't have the same hidden objective as Tom, who doesn't have the same hidden objective as Justin or Debbie or anything like that. So it does keeps the gameplay varied. So you don't just have everybody racing for
the highest point bird,
whatever. Yeah.
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 Penguins. Yeah. Penguins.
And because I think because the points are distributed in different ways, it's not super easy to tell where other people are in the point scheme. Like you see how many points everybody has accumulated per round in the round objective, but like how many eggs you have left on your mat at the end of the game gives you points, and
the number of cards tucked under the birds gives you points. Cached seeds or whatever gives you points.
There's a lot of ways to make points.
Yeah, because I never thought in it. Justin and I actually tied in this game.
Travesty.
Yeah, I know, right? I did not think that I was anywhere near the top. I thought I screwed up so bad.
Yeah.
So you really, like, you have no idea where you're at in this kind of game. So this is definitely the kind of game where if you're not, if you're good with the casual idea, as opposed to the, like, how many points is everybody sitting at and I need to race to get ahead of you. Like, if you don't really care about that kind of stuff and you're much more kind of easygoing, do you know what I mean?
Well, I think that's one of the, like, going back to the Spiel Award, I think that's kind of like a common thread between them is, like, generally, like, the games are pretty chill. Like, you want to win, you want to get the most points, but, like, usually it's pretty hidden away and it's not really, like, you know, like, competitive. Like, I'm not sitting there trying to, like, jack up.
Yeah.
What Justin's doing.
He's like, oh man, Justin's going for the Eagles. I'm going to buy all the Eagles and the Falcons. They're all mine.
All the Eagles, right? Like, yeah. So.
Yeah. And that makes it a lot more, I think, a lot more approachable, a lot more easygoing. It makes the game go by quickly in the sense that you're not evaluating.
Yeah. You would have to.
Everything around you.
Pretty much push the person out of the way and stare at their board to find out how many points they have right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's very
also
much
considered rude in many circles.
Yeah.
Many see also all.
Like, found that out the hard way.
Whoops.
This is very much a game that interestingly suffers from the, like, you play your own game.
Mm.
It's not overly, like.
That's why I love sharing bird facts.
Yeah, that's probably, okay. That makes sense. That actually, yes, that makes it make all make sense.
It gives you so many interesting things to read and look at the lovely art when it's not your turn.
Talk about all the things about woodpeckers.
Yeah.
Touching on what part of what you just said there, the art style is once again quite nice.
It's excellent.
It's just a good art style. It's not.
I think it's very accurate. Like, it's very.
Yeah, all the birds are accurately pictured.
Yeah. They're not pictures. They're like paintings, drawings. They're not cartoony. They're realistic. They're
nice.
Like, on point, I think. Yeah.
Until they release an expansion where it's all mythical.
Mythical birds.
Mythical birds.
Drake's band?
The first expansion has been announced.
European.
Yeah.
European birds is the first expansion.
Yeah. Oh.
European birds?
European birds. It has been announced. I don't know the release
date.
It is. It's shipping right now, I think.
Expand.
I was looking at somebody's post and somebody said that they were waiting for it in the mail. So I'm pretty sure it's coming out. It's odd. The one thing that's odd to me is the dice that have the food pieces on it. Those are very cartoony.
But they're nice and chunky. I like them.
Yeah, but the pictures on them, like the grub and the fish, they're very like.
Yeah, but nobody wants to look at a fine worm.
Yeah, nobody wants to look at it. But they're also very easy to.
And rat.
Anatomically to look at it. Worm.
They're very easy to just know what they are just by looking at them. So I think those, it's good to have just a more symbolic depiction of, or cartoonish. Ooh,
symbolistic?
Yes! Depiction, because then it's easy to just look, be like, okay, that's some fruit and a fish or a rodent.
Yeah, it just kind of stuck out to me. Like, just me personally, it was just like the food just struck me as very, but I think that that's how they tie in. Like, I think they do a good job of tying that in by saying, like, the birds are really realistic. The eggs are very, like, pastel-y, pretty colors.
Pretty.
And then they have the food that's a little kind of, like, basic shaped.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that they tied it all together, right? By creating.
You gotta have a little whimsy.
Gradient.
In there. Gotta have a little whimsy.
Gotta have a little whimsy. Adam, did you find the expansion?
Yeah, the expansion is shipping. The pre-orders are shipping now.
Shipping to Adam's house right now.
No. I did not pre-order this one.
You didn't get on this train. Oh. Quite that early.
Well, it actually, part of the reason why I didn't get on this train is because it's been just recently that I've even been able to get my hands on a copy of the base game.
Yeah.
The base game, it only printed something like 11,000 copies. So, I mean, only 11,000 copies. But only 11,000.
Worldwide? That's all.
Yeah, only 11,000 copies for worldwide is actually surprisingly small. Now, this game has definitely, again, suffered isn't really the right word for it, but been impacted by the hype train. People caught wind of this game. People started to kind of talk about it before it had even released. And they, you know, so when it did go to market, all 11,000 copies were basically pre-sold, which meant that, you know, the people who were waiting to get it, or maybe, oh, I'm going to wait for it to release and then I'll see what people are saying about it, and then I'll decide if I'm going to pick it up or not. Well, when all of a sudden people started to get it and they started talking about what an excellent, well done game this was and blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, it gets nominated for Spiel des Jahres. Now, all of a sudden, everyone is just like, shit, I need to get my hands on a copy of this game. It's in between print runs. And so now they're sitting here. And like I said, the hype monster got their hands on them. And it just became this crazy game due to kind of like a scarcity mentality.
Yeah.
Where it's like, man, I need to get a copy of it. And there aren't any.
And I think that was... if you go back to the Greg Jackson episode, he actually talked about Wingspan and about the hype around it and the reason why their original release was so small. And it's because the designer, I believe, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was like one of his
The first. Designer, it's their first yes. game.
Yeah.
And so they didn't entirely know that they wanted to take that big of a chance on it. And it just absolutely exploded.
Yeah, it makes sense, but it did.
And I don't think you can predict that, in all honesty. No. I mean, I think you can predict it with your, like, the designers that you know about.
Eric Lang or Uwe Rosenberg.
Yeah, Uwe Rosenberg, things like that. Like, you can expect those kinds of things. So you can expect that there's going to be a bit of a hype.
Yeah.
But for new designers, I think that it's fairly kind of out of the norm. For something to get this big this quickly.
That's super fair. It really got hit by hype.
Yeah.
And it caused, between the mix of rising hype and this scarcity mentality of there's only X number of copies out there in the world and I can't get one right now.
You don't suffer from that, do you, Adam?
I do suffer from that brutally. I feed into the hype and...
it feeds him,
and it does, yes. And then it feeds me back with this scarcity mentality of like, I got to get my hands on it.
And then it comes to you, and how often does it work out?
I don't know. I have a copy of Wingspan now, so that's pretty dope.
That worked out.
I would like to get the expansion for Wingspan. I think, spoiler alert, I liked the game. Coming up later in the episode, but here's a quick preview for you. Adam fucking liked it. Wah!
It's Euro.
Got a little bit of Waluigi in there.
Yeah. He's been playing a little too much Luigi's Mansion lately.
Yeah, no kidding.
Mario.
Oh, that's awesome.
Am I gonna have to bleep that?
I think
it's okay under parody. I think it's parody.
Yeah, parody.
Sorry, go ahead, absolutely. Debbie.
No, other than like, I think Stonemaier, typically good components, good art, good.
Oh yeah, excellent, like, production values. Yeah, love the art.
That's birds. Very typical of Stonemaier. I think,
and a good
at this
track
point.
Record.
Yeah. And I find that they're the background, and this is a really odd thing to say, the background hue of their games is all very similar. Have you ever noticed that? Like, they're all very soft.
Okay.
So think about Charterstone.
Yeah.
Right? Think about this. Think about Tapestry. They're all very, like, light, pastel-y, muted colors. Like, they're all very soft and very approachable.
All their games, yes, are something that I want to display on a shelf.
Yeah.
Where there are a lot of games where I probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
Like, just from an art perspective, like...
Like, they're not harsh, is what I mean. Like, they're always a very...
Aesthetically pleasing. Yes. And there's usually a lot of art and very little, like, logos and, you know, everything else. Like,
very simplistic.
Right now, Wingspan is sitting on a box of a fresco from Queen Games, and it's just slathered with awards, a giant Queen Games logo, the classic red-yellow of all their games. And it's not really... pretty box from the side, whereas Wingspan just looks nice. It's like something I want to display.
It is. Like, it's a very soft
And I don't know how else to put that. Like, it's a very odd thing, but it stands out to me that most board games, and I mean, in our collection, it's like that. They're all very dark colors. They're all very prominent. They're all in your face. And then you get to Stonemaier and it's like soft and gentle. And
it's a contrast, though, that actually makes you take notice of it, right?
Yeah.
Really gentle and subtle look.
It's delightful.
It is delightful, mixed in amongst a bunch of bold colors, in your face, awards slapped all over it. I mean, all the power to you. Like, if you're winning awards, then by all means, show them off.
Yeah.
Right. But there's just a lot of stuff that just like really, a lot of games like really push the graphic visuals to the nth degree to really get them in your face.
Mm-hmm. Tom displays his awards all over his chest.
Yeah, I'm
like, he was trying to show you. He was, you know. Oh, shit. He was like, yeah, look at my awards.
Yeah, I gotta stand really still during these because of all the jangling that would happen.
I like this game again for the art style. I think the art style is great. It's subtle, it's beautiful, it's well done. Whoever the artist is, I didn't look up who the artist is, and now I actually feel kind of bad about it.
Natalia, Rajas.
Well,
Anna Maria Martinez Jaramillo? Beth Sobel.
Okay, well,
shit.
Those folks who did the art style for this game deserve a really big, like a big pat on the back.
Sable or Sobel? They did it in cursive.
Okay. Oh, that's unfortunate.
You're right. No, it's Sobel.
But like, I can't read this.
Yeah.
Okay. So the folks.
I'm an idiot.
The folks that did the art style for this did a stellar job. Like, big kudos, big pat on the back, like big hurrah hurrah goes out to them. Like, these, like, the art style is wonderful, and it's a big driving point to the game for me, because it looks good. It looks good on the outside of the box, it looks good on the cards, it looks good in the components. The dice tower, although I like the thematic of it. It's not really my favorite dice tower, but I mean, what do you expect if you're going to mass produce 11,000 copies of a board game? You're not really going to go all in on like a wooden dice tower or something
It's not a dice tower that you're going to break out for all your other games. It just fits in really thematically.
Well, thematically,
most games don't contain a dice tower.
No, you're right.
So,
I guess my kind of thoughts on that is like, does this one really need the dice tower? Like, it's a nice touch, sure.
I like that it's made like a birdhouse. Yeah, fits together.
I'm still kind of
it does. Like, the reason it's there is to keep the dice corralled, because you do have to take them out. So there is that like physicality of making sure that like what's in there is what you can use, and if it's not in there, it's not usable.
Yeah.
So you need something, and that's, you might as well make it a dice tower, because that's otherwise you end up with dice everywhere.
Like, yeah, I that thought didn't actually cross my mind. That's a really good point.
So I think you could build like a simple corral for it, but I mean, you might as well just make it vertical and
slap a
couple extra pieces of cardboard on it.
Absolutely. And it does add to it, like the aesthetic and the theme, and it really piles it on top. Speaking of the dice, I like that the dice are impactful, but not like be all end all. Like, there's a rule where if you go to pull a die, and out of the dice that are remaining out of the dice pool that you're allowed to choose from, if they are all showing the same face, you can pick up all of the dice and re-roll them, which I think is great, because it doesn't just, you know, if you do kind of catch on to be like, oh, I think Justin is looking for berries to feed his birds. Well, I'm just going to, as we go around the table, we're just going to eliminate all the berries and leave them with whatever, grass or rats. Nuts or rats or whatever.
Rats.
Leave you with my nuts.
Yeah, exactly.
There were no nuts, by the way.
Like, you can't. What?
There were no nuts.
No
nuts. Oh, my bad. But like, you can't just like the interaction in this game, the player interaction is from a blocking perspective in typical Euro fashion. So it's like, you know what? I kind of have this inclining that I think Justin is maybe going for a certain bird type or a certain food type. So I'm going to try to, you know, cut him off at the pass kind of thing.
Hate drafting those eagles.
That's it. Hate draft those eagles. But the game comes with a really decent mechanic to help allow that to happen without being super obnoxious about it. I haven't tried the Atoma system, the single player system, but from what I've heard through conversations I've had with other people is that it's well done and that the solo play is actually rewarding. Yeah, like I said, it's a good game. It's a great game. The components, again, one more big applause for the Cadbury mini eggs that don't eat them, but those plastic eggs are wonderful. The colors are nice. They're these nice pastel colors. They're great. Good components in this game all across.
Kachinga.
Jesus, thanks. At the end of the day, I give it a 9.0. 9.0 out of 10. Great game. I'd play it again. I like, yeah, love it. Yeah, love it.
I agree. It was great.
Do you? You
this,
do?
Yeah. Okay. This is probably the first Stonemaier game that I enjoy without reservation.
And to be clear, you've played Viticulture, Charterstone, Tapestry,
and Scythe. Yes. Although, okay. I forgot that they made Viticulture. Viticulture I also enjoyed, but for other reasons, I guess.
Because it made Matt mad. Yeah.
But, if we ever review that, we'll get into that. Well, that was just a bonus. Viticulture I quite enjoyed. But this one, it was very straightforward in what it is. It's just, you're building the birds. It's not trying. You're building your bird nest.
I was like, you're building
you're building an engine with birds. Aviary. You're building your aviary.
I mean, and it kind of falls apart because it's really not a, it's kind of weird, but
A little weird, but it's not trying to tell me that it's a civilization building game.
Oh, he's trying to go back and start. It's not,
you know, trying to tell me it's a
game about collecting
an area. Area control game, and then it's all about just the money. No, it's just a nice, simple game about
to collect birds and collect you're collecting birds and you're putting birds down.
And it's also one of the this is one of the, I guess, few sort of solitaire games that I really quite enjoy. And I think it's a lot of it is just the components and all the bird facts. I was just super jazzed to read my bird facts. And just like look at my birds and have all my eggs out in my little area. It was just nice. I had my nice little area. I was building it. It was great.
I have to poke at something. Can I poke at something? Yeah,
go poke.
So the funny thing to me is that there is one thing that I honestly was expecting one of the two of you guys to harp on.
Well, I haven't started yet.
I haven't heard you harp about this yet, like at all. But the idea that you collect eggs. And you take an egg from one bird and it becomes a completely different bird. That doesn't bug you.
That doesn't bother me. Because
that is very much the same thing that was happening in Tapestry. And it was like super bothered people. It's the same thing to me.
Happening in Tapestry?
Like how you're looking at the technologies, right? And the progression of things and how they just kind of randomly...
The problem I had with Tapestry is that it would have all these technologies, but basically it was a name and a picture slapped on a card with some points.
There was no tech tree per se.
There was no tech tree and there was nothing to it.
It's like light bulb, 3 points.
Yeah. Whereas in this, it's an eagle, wingspan, 200 centimeters. It's like it lays one egg in its nest and has a little fact about it. And it's
eagles,
like.
And eagles' bonus power is fucking eating
things. Yeah. And it eats things. And that every round, you get a draw. And you draw a random bird and see if the eagle can eat it. And if it does, you slap it underneath there.
And that lays an egg and that egg becomes a. Chickadee?
That's okay. What I liked about this was that it actually had substance to the cards. Tapestry had no substance to the lithium ion battery that you're researching in the Neolithic area. It was just a name on a card with points.
Yeah.
There was nothing to it. That's why it just felt so blah.
Yeah.
Whereas in this it has really nice art. There's a lot of just detail and information. So on your turn, even when you're not doing anything, you can kind of just look at the birds. Like it's all excellent art. It's all just there. And there's just fun little information. It's educational and it has substance.
Yeah. I'm just, like I said, I'm just poking.
Okay. Well, yeah. No, that's why I was just edifying, I guess. Edifying. I found Tapestry... The same with Scythe, with the quests.
Yeah.
you go and you're supposed to have like a hero going on a quest to find something, and you draw a card. It's beautiful art, and there's just nothing there. It's just A, B, C. How many points do you want in which area? It's just like, wow. Whereas in this, it's like, I got an eagle, yo.
Yeah.
It's
my eagle is badass.
Right? It just ate a crow.
As the eagle's like, the card is sitting 6 inches above the table because of all the things it's eaten.
Yeah. And yeah, like, so it had a great, everything had substance, even like the bonus objective card. For me, it was a have birds of different geographical regions. So you wanted to have like the eastern sparrow. So if it had like eastern or northern or like savannah or something in there, yeah, you would get bonus points. So it just like added to the flavor to build my little engine of birds.
Yeah.
Because most engine building games I find kind of dull just because there is no substance, like Dominion.
Yeah.
There's nothing to do when it's not your turn. In this, you can think about what bird you want to play next and which birds are on the table and read the facts. And you get all your little tactile things to play with, and everything just themes and goes so well together.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why this is probably my favorite Stonemaier game by far. I would play this 100 times before I played another game of Tapestry. Even though like Tapestry is a great puzzle game. But yeah, I don't know. This one's just fun. I like it. Oh man, those Easter eggs are great. And I also just love that it has a nice engine building because of there's a little bit of chance with the food tray, but a lot of it is just, okay, you know, I need this bird because I want to like get some fish every round so that I can, you know, start building up my waterfowl. So I really want that mallard. Yeah. I don't know. I just really liked it. What do you think, Tom? Oh, sorry. I should probably say that I recommend this.
Yes, yes.
And if I owned it, I would keep it. But I'm actually probably looking at getting this if I can ever find a copy.
Yeah, this game was pretty good. I mean, it's a nice little engine building game. But I echo most of what you guys said, so I don't really have to say it. And you know, now that you've reminded me about the egg thing, this is a bit weird.
It's the one thing that just like that honestly just sticks out at me. You have these eggs and they get laid by one bird, and then you use them as a resource to get a different bird. And it's like, at first, I remember saying to you guys, I remember at first being like, you want me to take an egg from here to make this bird? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. So I was laying birds, not eggs. In my world, I was like, I'm laying a new bird because it is not coming from an egg from a different fucking bird.
Right, yeah. And I mean, it is like,
it's weird.
That is the, like, abstract Euro game type thing where it's like, oh, it doesn't make a ton of sense, but we need a different type of resource or else it would just be food.
Yeah.
I don't know what else you'd do, but I mean, like everybody else said, you know, those little delicious eggs, don't eat them. They're so fun to play with. They're very nice.
Yeah. And is it weird to you that the colors, that they're different colored eggs, but it doesn't actually matter?
I just like that.
It's just an aesthetic.
It all fits in the nice color scheme.
Yeah. I think it would look less like dynamic if you didn't have, because I mean, birds are not like, it's the exception of like flamingos. They're not exactly colorful. I'm going to go out on a limb and say.
There were a lot of colorful birds in there. Look at that hummingbird on the side.
Ooh, that hummingbird.
Okay, sure. You're right. I'm wrong. There's three birds on here and two of them are colorful. Must mean I'm wrong. But I mean, like all the colors do make it like just sort of pop. And I mean, it'll make it stand out on your table and it's very nice looking. And I mean, it was a very pleasant time. I don't have any particular complaints. I think one thing that I will mention, like with a lot of games that win the spiel, I'm never like set on fire by these types of games, but it is like, I would never turn a game of Wingspan down. And if I've got 1 to 5 players, I guess if I'm just by myself, if I've got, you know, the number around and, you know, I know that everybody's kind of comfortable with board games, is definitely one that I'd pull out. And it's, you know, approachable because everybody knows what a bird is. You don't have to explain what a bird is or what an egg is. And you don't have to go through any like complicated shit about how it's the year 27,000. And, you know, there's
you need 2 wing nuts to make a doubloon. The doubloon gets you points, but only in the third age. In the fourth age, they're useless, and you need more wing nuts.
Even like playing Diamond last night, it's like, rubies are worth 5 points. No, rubies are worth one, and then diamonds are worth five. It's like, man, just get your shit together. Come on, Justin. Like, you just have to count everything out. But anyway, it's like, it's very, very simple, very clean, very nice. It's a really good, really good little game. Again, I would recommend it. I would keep it. I'm going to keep it around. Probably pull it out over some of the, some of the Euros that I've got lying around, because it's very good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's nice.
It's nice. It's quite nice.
It's quite good. Not in the British way.
No. Yeah.
No.
Oh, dear. For me, I'm...
The egg thing really, really fucking threw me off. 2 out of 5.
Well, no, Debbie. It doesn't affect my score. It really weirded me out. The egg color thing is the other thing.
You can't birth a hummingbird from an eagle.
Like, if...
Bullshit.
No. It's birthing the eagle from the hummingbird.
But it's...
That's just... How do you get a chihuahua? So.
That's it. Yes. Yes.
Dear God. Through many, many, many thousands of years of evolution. So... I love this game. The things that just harped on me were the egg thing, absolutely, like, just tweaked at my brain for whatever reason, and the egg colors. Like, it would have been so easy to be like, hey, the eggs or the birds that lay eggs in the trees should have blue eggs, and the ones that are in the grasslands should have brown eggs. I don't know. That
seems, that would seem too fiddly for me. I don't know. A lot of birds have different colored eggs.
They were nice. I don't know what it is.
They're bright blue.
You know, they probably started with that and then found out that it was like too much of a pain in the ass. Because like, if everybody's going after the waterfowl or whatever, like, you might just run out of them, and it's like, then someone's going downstairs to go pull out a dye or whatever, and like, I don't know.
No, and you're probably
putting
right.
Eggs on top of their mat, and then egg getting everywhere, and then people got messed up components because the rule book told them to go get some eggs.
Yeah, I don't. It's just
if you run out of eggs, go get some more eggs.
That'd be amazing to have that rule. Oh, you ran out of components. I don't know. Grab some scissors and make your own arts and crafts night.
Yeah, those are the two things that just for whatever reason, I mean, everybody has their thing that sticks out to them, and this to me is that's just it. Like, it's something that it just seems like a slight miss, but I'm still giving it a 5 out of 5. So I mean, it literally is just it's just a thing that I just don't get. Like, I don't know. But yeah, 5 out of 5, buy it, play it, love it. This is a great game to have, I think, in anyone's collection. It is easy to understand. It's easily approachable. It's easily taught. Yes, there are kind of components here and there, and you kind of, like, you do need to figure out a bit of the mechanism behind things. But once you've got it, you know, like after your first round or two, it's there, and you're just kind of like, okay, and you just play it, and it's good fun. And I think it's just a great game, I think, to have in any collection.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, I want to ask you a question.
Uh-oh.
I know, right? You said that you don't find that the Spiel games typically blow you away. Do you think that it's because of the what did you call them? The requirements? Do you think they're not complex enough? Like,
well, I think that's part of it. Like, there's no, I don't recall any game from that wins that award that has like a depth of complexity that usually makes me go, huh, this is really like really in depth. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, I'm looking at Fresco. Fresco is a perfectly good game about making paintings, and it's quite good, but it's not one that I would set up a board game night over. Same thing with Kingdom Builder or, I mean, Settlers of Catan. Like, they're all very accessible. They're all very, like, good games. They're great, typically great entry-level types of things, and they're not bringing to the table things that are super new to me, so I'm not, like, blown away by them.
Yeah. No, and that's what I was curious about, because I think it's a niche thing too, right? Like,
oh yeah, for sure. Like, and I mean, like, I tend to hew towards, you know, orc ships from space coming down and enacting hot laser death on planets is kind of the thing that gets me excited.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a game about collecting birds is not exactly in my wheelhouse, but it is quite good.
Yeah.
It is an enjoyable time.
Yeah. And that's, and I honestly, that is straight up what it comes down to, is I think that Spiel is a very, it's a much more accessible level, right. And that's, of awarding.
I could be wrong, but I think that's one of the requirements, is that it is considered, it makes sense, more accessible.
So again, thank you to Wikipedia. There are four components, there are four criteria in which a game is evaluated on for Spiel des Jahres award purposes. One, the first one is game concept, so it's talking about originality, playability, and game value. The second is the rule structure, which it comes down to composition, clearness, and comprehensibility. Then there's layout, which is the layout of the box, layout of the board, the layout of the rules. God, that must be why Fantasy Flight's rarely on here. And then the fourth one is... because
they're too fucking awesome.
Right? Well, because they write, like, these rule books that are just like word salads that are...
Svelte rule book.
It does. And it even says on at the beginning of the rule book, I actually found this really funny. Sorry, I'm not trying to cut you off.
It's fine.
Totally, it says, this is a detailed rule book, but you can actually learn the entire game from the quick reference guide, which is a single page. But this detailed rule book is 11 pages, and it's not like a heavy 11 pages. Like,
it's just not long enough.
The game did a really good job of keeping all the information on the cards.
Yeah. Like that. That was funny to me. I was just like, wow, you call this a detailed rule book? Sweet. I've seen some messier rule books in my time, but yeah,
all
sorry.
Time. No, it's all good.
Number four.
The fourth one is design. So it's just talking about functionality and workmanship into the design of the game.
Okay.
That's it. But I definitely think that, like, when you talk about rule structure, especially when they're talking about composition and comprehensibility, I think they're talking about ease of access. I think they're talking about the ability for this to kind of be a welcoming entry into the hobby. Especially because, like, the Spiel des Jahres is actually split into two. There's normal Spiel, and then there's what they call the Kenner Spiel, which is, this is the one that Wingspan won. Kenner Spiel is for, it's loosely translated, it translates to the connoisseur game of the year. So it's just for somebody who's already more deeply invested into the hobby. This is the category that Wingspan won for. But still,
that makes sense, because I think I felt like this was a little bit more complicated than most games that have the little red one.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And it's not Kinder. I thought you were saying
Kenner. Kinder is for children.
Kinderspiel is, yes, is the kids.
So yeah, okay, sorry. There are three Spiel des Jahres.
I just thought you were saying Kinder wrong, and I was like, why is this a kids game?
No, K-E-N-N-E-R, Kenner.
So educational.
Yeah. I've never, like, even looked into a kid's game, but again.
Who wants to learn about birds? Let's all learn about birds.
We have Kinderspiel games.
We have Kennerspiel games.
No, we have Kinderspiel games.
Fair enough. Okay, I'm not going to argue you here, but I disagree.
Oh, so I'm curious now.
I don't want to argue about this, but you're wrong. Yeah. Okay, did you have anything else?
Nope.
Was it just that last question? Did I?
It was just that last question.
Did I answer it sufficiently?
You did, and actually, you definitely, because it's much about what I've been thinking about as well. Like, it's something that I've definitely thought about, where I'm like, you know, why does some of these other games that I really like not even come close? And it probably has a lot to do with that complexity. It's a little meatier. It's a little kind of deeper, more complex.
That's why we've been missing out on Adam's Rulebook Corner in the last few.
There have been some really respectable rule books kind of, like, in the games that we've played recently.
It's almost like they've started getting professional people to write rule books. It's really weird.
I feel like we need to find a Fantasy Flight game to play next.
Oh, we will.
Oh, we can do that.
We can definitely do that.
Oh, baby. Don't get me started. If you liked this episode, please go find us on Apple or Google or whatever you happen to find us on, and like and subscribe, give 5 stars and a nice sweet, sweet, sweet review. If you want to give me a shout, you can hit me up or anyone else on the crew here at collapsinggameshelf@gmail.com, or you can find me at Team Rage Tom on Twitter, or the group Twitter is at CGS Podcast.
Nailed it.
And if you like this episode again, share this with a friend, would be great. Share it on any kind of board or media that you seem to have, if you liked it. And that would be great. Justin, you got anything for us?
I don't have a lot, but if you want to get a hold of me, you can find me at Don't Trust Justin, on Twitter.
Don't trust him.
And when it comes to board games, well, when it comes to playing board games with me, that's probably a wise idea. I'll try to get back to you. What do you have to say, Adam?
Check me out on Twitter and Instagram at For The Win, FORTHEWHYN, twitch.tv/ForTheWin, and ForTheWin.com is the website. You can find a link to the podcast right there.
Hot damn.
Hot damn.
And for myself, you can get me on Twitter and Instagram at Mrs. Wynn. That's MRSWHYN. And I do try to keep up with the Twitter. Please give us as much constructive criticism as you can. If there's anything that you think that we should know about, look into, anything like that, pop that up there and I'll bring it to the table and make sure that we all know about it.
All right. Well, thanks again for listening. We will sign off for now and come at you next week with something else. Thanks again. Bye.
Thanks again.
Bye. Bye.
Go take a look at some birds.
Birds are great.
Caca!
Bird is the word.